Welcome to today's episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Marielle Schuberth, three-time experienced gestational surrogate and intake manager for Surrogacy Mentor and Modern Parent Mentor, where our aim is a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey for all. Today, I am excited to have experienced GC Samantha with us. Welcome, Samantha.
Thank you so much for having me.
Today's topic is interview with a surrogate. We'll just kind of start here. So, Samantha, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your family and what made you want to be a surrogate?
Well, I am 41. I have three children of my own, and my significant other also has three children who live in our house with us. We have six combined. Only four live with us now because my older two don't live with us. But I've always wanted to be a surrogate. I just didn't know how the process all went. Back when I was in my 20s, a friend of mine said she couldn't have babies. I offered to carry for her. That never came about. Again, in my 30s, a different friend of mine also wasn't able to carry babies. So I offered at that point as well. And she politely declined. And honestly, talking with my significant other about it, he knew somebody who did it, and it got me really curious about it. And just from us talking about it, I got ads that popped up on Facebook, and I thought I was too old at that point. It said my age was still able, so I clicked on it and applied, and here we are.
I think that's a lot of how a lot of our stories start, with either knowing somebody or being willing or just always kind of being curious about it. And it's also a common misconception of thinking you're too old. It definitely gives you a bigger pregnancy window since we're not using your eggs. Your uterus is viable a lot longer than your eggs are. So that's wonderful. How did your husband and family and friends react to you wanting to be a surrogate? It's not something that you hear every day. So when you kind of brought it up, how did that go over with everyone?
Honestly, there wasn't anybody that I spoke with that was surprised by it. Just because I've had such easy pregnancies, everybody was very supportive. Everybody was on board. I mean, I went through the list of everybody before I even actually applied. Like, I talked to the kids about it. I talked to my mom about it. I talked to my friends about it just to see, you know, how everybody thought and where everybody was at with it. And honestly, everybody was on board. So I thought it was a pretty good support system.
Yeah, that's amazing, because that is not the case for everyone, that everybody is supportive. But I love that you did that prior to even kind of getting started, because as you know, having that support system around for all the things, emotional, physical, logistical support, is vital to a journey going smoothly. So I love that you had that and didn't get any kind of pushback from that. That's amazing.
Me too. So, me too. It was really great.
Yeah. So how did you kind of bring it up? I know you said that your husband knew somebody who did it, so it wasn't totally a weird thing for you to bring up.
No,
wanted to do it.
Nope. He had talked about it, and I had told him how, like, I always wanted to do it. And then, you know, it was one of my days off. I hopped on and applied, and he came home from work, and I was like, "Hey, by the way, I applied to be a surrogate." And he was like, not shocked, but like more excited about it. And honestly, he has been over the moon excited about the whole process.
I love that. Maybe we'll have to do an episode with him on how to get other husbands on board, because sometimes that can be hard, even to get your spouse or your partner kind of on board with things. So that's wonderful. So it sounds like you had a great start to your journey with your support system and everybody kind of being on board. So why don't you tell us about your, you know, surrogacy experience? We'll just kind of go from there. I'll let you take it a little bit about how the process went. Did things go just as smoothly once you applied with your agency, or how did all of that go for you?
Honestly, I feel like I probably have one of the better stories that I've heard or read about or any of that, because I feel everything went very smoothly. I applied, you know, online. Within a couple of days, I got a response. And from there, it just kind of went along the way. Like, I think I applied in April and I was matched and ready to go by October. Wow, and that was getting,
that's wonderful.
Yes, exactly. And that was getting all of my medical records. That was getting, you know, all the bits and pieces that they needed, which, like I said, I've 41. So my older kids, I mean, I had them 20 years ago. So getting their medical records was a challenge, but the agency was able to track it all down and was able to get everything that they needed for the fertility clinic.
That is wonderful, especially those older records, because a lot of places only hold them for 10 years. So that's great that they were able to track those down.
Yes.
And so how about legal? I know sometimes that can be a big hiccup, or kind of not even hiccup, but that can sometimes take some time. Did that go just as smoothly?
Once I matched, the person that I matched with was in, I have an intended father, first of all, just one single intended father. Not intending anymore, but you know what I mean. So he was in a hurry from the get-go. So they asked if that was okay. And I said, yep, I'm not getting any younger. So let's go for it. Once we got through medical clearance and started the legal process, I think we were done with the legal contract within 2 weeks. And that's probably even longer than what it actually took. It was very quick. We were able to discuss everything prior to. So once it came to actually drawing everything up, there was only a few minor changes that needed to happen. And we both agreed on it and we're done with it.
Wow. Yeah. You may be a record setter as far as how quickly all of that goes. So that's amazing. So you have a single intended father. Everything is going swimmingly and smoothly. Let's talk about your transfer. How many embryos did you transfer? And I know this is where things start to get a little more exciting for everybody's journey, especially yours.
Yes. So we agreed to only do the single egg transfer, or embryo transfer, just because multiples can happen when you do the double embryo transfer. And he was just looking for the one baby at the time. So we just did the one. Transfer went great. It was a very easy process. I did end up having to fly out to California for it, but it was nice weather and it was a really great flight. So it wasn't bad.
So everything goes great with your transfer. Then, you know, you're pregnant. Did everything take on the first try?
Yes. Again, I picture perfect this whole scenario. First try, first transfer, everything went great. I started doing the at-home pregnancy tests. I think I got my first positive within 4 to 5 days. Went to the first beta at day 10. I think it was only at like, I think it was 173 for the first beta, but everybody was super excited. We go to the second one. It had more than doubled, which is what they wanted. Everybody was great. So then we go to the heartbeat confirmation. I believe it was like 6 or 7 weeks. And we found two happy, healthy heartbeats.
Woof, there it is. So I think this also kind of brings light. I don't know if you were part of any of the surrogacy support groups, but a lot of people try to look into these beta numbers. And if you have a high beta or a low beta, whether that means one or two. And I think just kind of from my personal experience and from what I've seen in the groups, your number seems pretty average for a singleton pregnancy. So as far as, you know, you could tell there, beta numbers were not reflective of the number of babies that you had. So I'm sure that came as quite a shock to you and the intended dad.
Honestly, shock isn't even the word for it. A couple days before the heartbeat confirmation, I was talking with my significant other and I was like, well, you know, it could be two babies, you know, we could be having twins. And he was like, not worried about it, but I guarantee you, you're pregnant. So we go to the heartbeat confirmation. It was the first time meeting the intended father. I get taken back first and he's in the waiting room with my significant other and they're just chatting and significant other is like, hey, you know, what if this is twins? And he was like, oh, such a low chance of it being twins. I'm not even worried about it. Okay, great. I'm back there. So I don't know they're having this conversation. And the lady that's doing the ultrasound is like, oh, there's two. And I was like, to what? And she was like, oh, there's two babies. And I was like, twins? And she was like, yeah, there's twins. And I was like, oh, okay. So I was a little bit shocked by it. Not expecting that. So they bring the intended father back, and she's going over the ultrasound with him as well. And at first, he is not quite getting the fact that there's two babies, because he's never seen an ultrasound before.
Yep.
First time, first everything. And I had to, he was on my left side, and I had to reach over, grab his arm, and I looked at him, and I just remember telling him, I said, she means there's twins, because she kept referring to two of everything. Yep. And he had no idea. So I looked over, told him it was twins, and the look on his face was like shock and surprise, but so much happiness. Like, he was just over the moon. Like, again, it's that look that always brought everything together. Yep. For this whole journey is their reaction, his reaction. And it literally made the whole journey worth every bit.
Yeah. So it's great that he was able to be there to see everything. And so with IVF twins, you know, you can transfer two embryos and get two separate, or in your case, one embryo split, which can add a different layer of complications when one splits, because the type of twin that comes from a split embryo. So with your type of twins, were there any extra complications that kind of came with the type of twin that they were? Do you know what type?
Well, when it comes to the single embryo, you can have the mono-mono and you can have the mono-di. I don't know the like longer words for those. I know those are the shortened, easier words. The mono-mono is the one sac, one placenta. The mono-di is the one placenta with two sacs. We ended up with the mono-di, so they had their own individual sacs, which is the better of the two, with easier, better results, I guess, is what they were hoping for.
Which is great. So the less risky as far as the sharing of all the things. And so you all kind of take some time to process this. You know, you've got a house full of kiddos at home. You're expecting to be pregnant with one. I know from my twin pregnancy, it's a whole different ball game of pregnancy when there's two in there. How did your pregnancy go? Were you feeling well? Were you super sick? Like, how did your kind of home life go with all of that?
In the very beginning, first trimester, I was really nauseous, but I never ended up getting sick. And I actually spoke with a nutritionist who gave me a lot of great information and like suggestions, and pretty much everything she suggested helped with any of the, I don't want to call them side effects, but you know, the normal first trimester hiccups. But as far as the rest of the pregnancy goes, you would have never known I was pregnant with twins, and I didn't feel any different with the twins as I did with one of my own children.
That is wonderful. Then see, you really were just meant to be pregnant, because I know mine, that was not the case. I looked like I was about to pop at like 4 months. there was a lot of baby in there. So that's amazing. So how far into your pregnancy did you make it? I know twins tend to want to come early. How did all that transpire then towards the end of your pregnancy?
Well, I did end up towards the end there getting preeclampsia. I was 35 weeks and 6 days when all of a sudden things just weren't feeling right. I called the nurse online, was telling her about my symptoms and everything. And I did have an at-home blood pressure cuff. So I did check my blood pressure, which was quite elevated. And she told me I should go to the hospital. I called up the intended father. I said, hey, this is what's going on. They're suggesting I go to the hospital. Conveniently, he's only probably about 2.5 hours from where I live, about 1.5 hours from where the hospital was. Exactly. So when we left, he packed up his stuff and he met us at the hospital, basically. Just with the whole blood pressure thing, it wasn't going down after they gave me the meds. So they just thought the best way to help it out is to induce. So at 36 weeks exactly is when they induced me. And I ended up having one on that same day, and the one came 15 minutes later, but happened to be on the next day. So they each have their own individual birthdays.
So you had a single embryo transfer split into twins who happen to have two separate birthdays. I mean, we're kind of like hitting the trifecta here of like the odds are against all of these things. And yet here you are. That is amazing. So you said they induced you. So were you able to deliver vaginally or did you end up having to have a C-section?
Thankfully, I was able to deliver vaginally. We were prepped and ready to go in case something happened. But baby A came out perfectly. They had a little bit of, they needed to help a little bit with baby B, but he came out 15 minutes later and they're both kicking and screaming.
That is wonderful. So at 36 weeks, I mean, they're pretty well cooked at that point. Did they end up needing any NICU time or were they able to just go straight to dad?
They did both end up in the NICU. One was there for, I want to say, 4 or 5 days, and the other was like 6 or 7 days, but it was very, very minimal time.
How big were they?
One was 4 pounds, 4 ounces. The other was 4 pounds, 11 ounces.
Good. So they were some good weight of baby there.
Yes.
So, in the hospital, did you end up pumping any breast milk for them or how did, that go? Is that something that you and your intended dad decided on or against?
Yep. We did decide to do it. I told him, I would do it for the 6 weeks that I was off until I went back to work. So, in the hospital and after I came back, I did, pump for him. And because we live so close, we just ended up driving down there to drop it off for him. The kids wanted to meet those babies. So it was very convenient.
That's wonderful. So he made it to the hospital. Was dad able to be in the delivery room? Did he just kind of wait outside? What did that delivery kind of look like?
Well, like I said, it was, we were all set up and ready just in case we needed a C-section. So we were in the operating room. And my significant other was in there with me, but dad was also in the delivery room with us. He is not one for like the blood and the yuck. So he wasn't quite sure if he was going to be able to cut the cords or any of that stuff. He did let me cut baby A's cord, which I've never done that with any of my kids. So I was super excited to do that. And then, once he saw me do it with the first one, he rushed over and was like, yes, I'm going to do it. I got this. And he jumped in and cut baby B's cord.
That's amazing. I had one set of dads who like wanted to be there. We were able to get them in the OR. And then the other set wanted nothing to do with any of the, they were like, just give her to me once she's clean and wrapped up. Nice. They didn't want any part of the inner workings of that. So it's great though, that he was able to be there and swallow his fear enough to be able to cut the cord, because that is a bonding moment or making it kind of real for a lot of parents.
And but he was able to do the skin to skin right away too. So that was probably my favorite part of the whole thing.
Yeah. And so with the babies being in the NICU, how did that go? Did he end up kind of hanging out in your room?
Well, he ended up getting a hotel room at one of the hotels very close to the hospital. I was in the hospital for 4 days after I had them just because of the whole blood pressure thing. But after day like three, I do believe the hospital provided him his own room. So he was able to stay there and everything. But we would go back and forth between my room and his room and the nursery or the NICU. And we kind of all intermingled because, I mean, he became one of our very close friends through the whole process.
I'm sure. And I love that. I think that's wonderful. So here's a single dad expecting one baby. Suddenly he's got twins on his hands. Did he have a big support system or did he just kind of fly solo and it was really him and these two babies figuring it out?
Well, even in the hospital, his aunt and uncle came to the hospital to be there for him. So right off the bat, he had amazing people there. Right away, his parents live in a different state. So, and his father had just had surgery. We weren't planning on having these babies for another week. So they were hoping that mom and dad could be up here. But once dad was cleared medically, then mom and dad did come up to help him out once they were already home.
Yeah, because I couldn't imagine that. Everybody always looked at me like I was like, a saint for carrying twins. I'm like, I got the easy part. They have to go home with these twins. Like, I don't want
exactly.
I did the easy part. So I couldn't imagine doing that as a single parent. That's amazing. So how old are the twins now?
They're almost 4 months old. So on the 10th and 11th, they'll be 4 months.
Okay. So you're still like kind of fresh out of this postpartum period.
Yes.
How did all that go for you? Because I know it's until you experience it, it's very hard to kind of even wrap your mind around what postpartum looks like as a surrogate going home without babies. It's very different. I was kind of naive going into it, like, oh, well, I'm going to go home without a baby and I get sleep and all is well. And, you know, there are normal things that happen during postpartum that, you know, like that hormone crash, normal baby blues, you know, your milk's coming in, you're still having to pump. And so it's not just you get to strut out of the hospital and resume normal life like that. And so I always like to ask it so we can inform other people just kind of what to expect during that postpartum period when you are going home without babies and just kind of how that went for you.
The going home that day, because like I said, I bonded so much with Dad that like both him and I stood in the hallway and we were both a hot mess. We were both bawling our eyes out. And I think it was more, not so much because I was leaving the babies there, but it was because like I was so happy for him. And like you said, the hormones just are all over the place. I was so extremely happy for him. And I was so thankful that my body was able to do this for him. And like, again, seeing him throughout the whole thing with the boys and all of it, like, it was just an overwhelming surge of just happiness. I don't feel like I ever got like the blues or anything. Everybody I know, like that was their biggest concern was, well, how are you feeling? How are you doing? And I know going into the whole process, I had the mindset that I know I'm not going home with babies. I know these babies are not mine. Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel that attachment to them. And I didn't have that like connection you do with your own children.
Yep.
So to be able to just walk out without babies, I mean, I feel like, and still even now just thinking about it, like I'm very happy with the way everything went.
Yep. No, and I think that is no truer words. You know, I got very emotional after mine, but it was kind of the same thing. It wasn't that I was sad I was coming home without babies. I was just like so happy and, you know, it was over. And I think I got a lot more emotional, like when I stopped pumping for them, you know, like I'm crying, but I'm not crying because I missed the baby. I'm crying because there's no milk in the refrigerator and I don't know what we're going to make for dinner. But it was never about the baby. And I think that is a hard part for a lot of people who either aren't surrogates or don't know a whole lot about the process. That's a really hard thing for them to separate out is the giving up a baby. And I always like to correct, I'm giving back a baby. I never gave anything up. There was, you know, it was never mine. And a lot of people just can't wrap their minds around how to process that. And I always say, either you're cut out to be a surrogate and you get it, or you don't, and you're not meant to be one. And that's okay too. But it's a different, it's definitely a different type of emotion. And so you said you were going to pump for them, until you went back to work. How did kind of drying up look like for you? I know sometimes that can be rough.
Honestly, I don't know if it's because of my age or what the this, or if it's the fact that there was no babies here directly with me, but I don't think that I would say I was like a good producer to begin with. I mean, I was roughly averaging about 28 to 30 ounces a day. And then towards the end, when I knew it was coming down to that 6 week mark, I just stretched out the pumps because I was doing it every 2 to 3 hours. So I went like every 3 to 4, and then I would do every 4 to 5. And so I kind of like weaned myself off of it. I had one day that I would say that was the very next day when I, the day I decided like, I'm not pumping today, was probably the worst of all of it. But after that, it again, progressively got better. And I mean, I was probably done and dried up within a week.
That's wonderful. And so I know sometimes with preeclampsia, there is, you know, such a thing as postpartum preeclampsia. And so were you monitored extra? I know you said you spent 4 days in the hospital. Was there anything different with your postpartum period at home that you needed to do differently or kind of watch out for since you had the pre-E during the pregnancy? Or was that kind of over once you left the hospital?
Well, the only reason I was able to leave the hospital is because they gave me extra meds and I agreed to go to my OBGYN because I got out on a Thursday. So I had to go see her right away on Friday just to be monitored. And then the following week to be monitored. And again, I had the blood pressure cuff at home. So I did have to do the monitoring at home as well with the extra meds that they gave me. Again, I think I peaked in the hospital of where my blood pressure was going because it just progressively got better over the weekend. Even when I went to the doctor on Friday, one of the meds that they had given me in the hospital, I was able to lower the dosage of. And when I went to see him the following week, I was able to stop that one. And the week after that, or it was either later in that second week, I was able to stop meds altogether and my blood pressure has been fine ever since.
Which that's great. Cause I know that's that can happen with any pregnancy, even if you didn't have preeclampsia in during your pregnancy or after delivery, it's definitely something to watch out for. So now they're about almost 4 months old. What is your relationship like with the now dad, not even intended, but with the dad and the babies? Do you still talk a whole lot? Do you get updates? Like, what does that look like for you now?
Well, part of the agreement that we had from the get-go was that he would send pictures, he would send updates, and that's just exactly how it's gone. We went to see them a couple times at their house, and throughout not seeing them, he still sends us pictures, he still sends us updates when they go to the doctor, especially because they were so teeny tiny. Yeah. He has sent us like their growth updates and everything, which is so special to be able to see it from the other side, like watching them grow and like progress and everything. It's just it for me, it's an amazing experience. Like these last pictures I just got were from Christmas and I was like, I cannot believe how big they are already. It's just it's great. I love it.
Oh, that is. I love hearing that. That's the why, right? The why do we do it? And it's that baby's first Christmas. And like, you know, that you were able to be a part of that. And just knowing that you're able to bring that love and happiness into the world is a fulfilling feeling and something that is hard to describe. But there's a reason why a lot of women do this more than once.
Exactly.
And so with how well everything went through everything, even with some surprises along the way, do you have any advice that you would give women considering becoming a surrogate?
Definitely do your research, do your homework, and make sure that it is something that you and your family can deal with, because the family does do a lot. They may not know it, but they do participate a lot in the whole process and just the support and all of that stuff, but just make sure it's something that you are fully prepared and ready for, because it's such an amazing experience. Just it's so hard to describe, but it's so amazing.
Yep. No, I know it is. It's definitely hard to put into words until you are part of it, but it's great that your family is able to be a part of it. And you're right, whether they realize it or not, they're there through the ins and outs and the everyday stuff. And even though it sounds like overall your pregnancy went really smoothly, you know, I'm sure there were some days where you were extra tired or needed extra help or whatever. Or extra and so crabby. Having that supportive family is amazing. I know with my twin pregnancy, there got a point where I couldn't even tie my own shoes. And so my husband had to get me like slide on shoes. I was living in Colorado and it was the middle of winter and I could not put those boots on and off. It wasn't going to happen. So he had to go on the hunt to find me insulated clogs that I could slide in, because I couldn't tie my own shoes. And so those little things that, you know, you need family support or, you know, support from whoever your support system is.
It's lots of help. You always need that extra help. And yes, even though I wasn't that big, I still couldn't reach my feet. So I did need help tying my shoes, but thankfully mine was during the summer, so sandals and Crocs were my best friend.
Yep. Well, that is just amazing. And so what, they're 4 months old now, so you're back to work. Mm-hmm. Were they supportive during the process and you needing to take time off or transfer appointments and taking at least, you probably didn't take a full maternity leave, or maybe you did, but taking maternity leave, I know some employers don't quite understand why you need time off if you're not coming home with a baby, but recovering right. post-birth is still the same, whether you have a baby or not.
Right. Well, so I work in a factory, and going through the transfer and everything, I just took FMLA and all of that went smoothly. Once I was let go to the OB and they put the restriction of the 20 pounds, I let my employer know, hey, just so you know, being pregnant, can't lift more than 20 pounds. They decided it was best that I not continue working. So I actually was off of work for roughly 6.5 months throughout the whole pregnancy and then my 6 weeks afterwards. Oh, wow. So I didn't actually have any problems with work, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. So those are some of the other unexpected or expect the unexpected things for people to understand, because I know there are certain states now that will pay, depending on what your situation is, mm-hmm. Either disability if you're out of work due to pregnancy complications, or sometimes some of them do paid maternity leave. It's like a legal thing. I think Oregon is one that just recently passed that. How did that work for you financially? Because you went from working to being told not to work. Was that kind of in your contract, or were you able to get some of the relief through FMLA and things like that?
So it was part of the contract. But I did get like short-term disability through my employer. So they covered like 55% of my wages. And then dad covered the rest of it through the contract and everything through how that was.
And so this is one of those making sure that your contract is thorough and covers things like this, because you never know. You thought you were going to have a singleton. Here you are with twins, and it happens. And so that's why making sure that you have a professional who is well-versed in these types of contracts is really important, because it's those little things that when it comes down to it, really do matter. I'm glad that that was covered for you.
Me too.
Yeah, because that could be a huge thing to lose. And we always say you should always be made whole as a surrogate. Like, you can do something great for someone and great for your family, but you should never have to sacrifice big things to be able to do this for somebody else. And that includes your job and your money. You shouldn't have to figure that type of stuff out to do that for somebody else. So I'm so glad that that wasn't an issue for you and that you were able to get that and relax and gestate these babies to a great weight and a great weeks and all of that. So that's just so amazing. I just love hearing everybody's different surrogacy stories. So
it's my favorite topic to talk about lately.
Yeah, well, as it should be. It's a big thing that you did for yourself, your family, and for somebody else. I mean, you helped create somebody's family and helped create grandparents and great aunts and uncles and all of the things. And so it's the wave of love I always talk about, but it really does speak wonders and travels further than you'll ever know. And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I want to thank our very special guest, Samantha, for joining us for our chat today. Be sure to check us out online at surrogacymentor.com and modernparentmentor.com if you're interested in knowing whether surrogacy is right for you, and take our 2-minute easy quiz on our website if you're interested in becoming a surrogate. Subscribe to this podcast to learn more about gestational surrogacy and how to have a fun, safe, ethical surrogacy journey. Thank you. We'll talk to you next time.